This is a part two, or continuation, of our discussion about Bhagavan Varaha's Avirbhav Tithi, the appearance day of Lord Varahadev, the Transcendental Boar, 2008. And we can see an interesting parallel between Satyuga Leela of Lord Varaha and Bhumi, and the pastimes of Krishna, Leela Purushottam, and Dwapara Yuga, and his pastimes with Kubja, the servant girl of Kamsa from Mathura. Kubja was also called Trivakra, which means that she was bent in three places. There's a verse in Hamsadutta by Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is text 130, where he mentions something interesting in relation to Kubja and this Varaha. This is, of course, Hamsadutta is Radharani's reply or letter, message being sent via a swan, Hamsadutta, swan carrier, swan messenger, Hamsadut. And Lita Sakhi is composing the message to give to Krishna. Why hasn't he returned to them? He promised. Has he forgotten them? What is he doing? So at this point, at the end of this message to be given to the Hans, Lita Sakhi is telling the Hans what she should say to Krishna when she meets, when the Hans, a swan, meets Krishna in Mathura, Mathuradish, or Mathuranath. So Lita starts going through the Dasavatar and in kind of a sarcastic way, reminding Krishna about his different avatars, because he's Sarvavatari, Swayam Bhagavan, and how he's, these different avatars, Krishna and Vrindavan, or his behavior now in Mathura, he's manifesting different aspects and qualities of these different avatars in relation to his treatment, is rather nasty treatment of the gopis. So she says, text 130, Hamsadutta by Srila Rupa Goswami, Sada kamsarate spuruti chiram adhyapi bhavata sputam krodakare vapushi nibida prema lahari yata sasarindri malaya ruha panka pranayani twaya krodi chakre parama rabasad atmadhyata. Very beautiful verse in the English translation. O Kamsari, O enemy of Kamsa, once again you are demonstrating the behavior of a hog or a pig, boar, by taking Kubja, a servant girl of a low class, to your heart, while she was taking sandalwood paste for King Kamsa. Thus you made Kubja your wife, just as in your boar incarnation as Lord Varaha, you picked up the earth from the mud at the bottom of the universe and made her your wife. So in a sarcastic way, the gopis are saying that Krishna is just like Varaha. The earth was pushed down, the earth was pushed down by the heavy weight of the demon, Hiranyaksha, the first big demon, big-time demon of Satyuga. The earth planet, which means the Mother Bhumi, presiding goddess of the earth planet. And the earth planet was pushed down into the mud at the bottom of the universe. The bottom half of the universe is filled with the water of the Garbhadak ocean, and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is lying there. So the planet was pushed under the water by the heavy weight of this demon, and bent down, pushed down, kept down under the water. And then Varaha, Bhagavan Varaha, appeared to lift the earth from that muddy place, dirty place, with the appropriate form of a Sukhararupa, the form of a transcendental pig or hog, and with his two tusks, extended from his jaw, he, with his two tusks, he lifted the earth. And by that contact when Bhagavan Varaha contacted Bhumi, or the earth personified as Mother Bhumi, or Bhumi, then there was a issue from that combination. A child was born by the name of Bhomasura, or Narakasura. So there's some correlation between Kubja and Mathura and Mother Bhumi. And that's described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary. Chapter 42, text 1, where Krishna's walking down the king's road, the main royal road in Mathura, and Lord Madhav saw a young hunchbacked woman, Kubja, with an attractive face. She was carrying a tray of fragrant ointments and scents as she walked along. The bestower of the ecstasy of love smiled and inquired from her as follows. So it says, Yantim Prahasan Rasaprada. So we say, Prem Pradayate. Mahaprabhu is the giver of Prema, and Krishna is Rasaraj. Rasaraj Sri Krishna, he's Rasaprada. Prahasan, he was laughing or very smiling broadly. The bestower of ecstasy of love, the Rasaprada. He who gives the ecstasy of love, this is Krishna. He was smiling broadly, then he inquired from her. So in the purport, it's being told, who is this Kubja? And she's actually a replica or an expansion of Satyabhama. And of course, Satyabhama is one of Krishna's queens, his second queen, I believe, or one of his queens, after Rukmini. Satyabhama is one of the queens of Dwarkanath in Dwarka, Dwarkadish. And she represents the Bhu-Shakti, the Leela-Shakti, Bhu-Shakti, Neela-Shakti, different Shaktis. Soda Shakala, 16 Shaktis of the Lord. So she represents the potency, Bhu-Shakti, which manifests the transcendental abode of the Lord. So this Kubja appeared, you could say Satyabhama appeared, or Bhu-Shakti appeared, and Mathura as Kubja. So this, of course, Bhu-Shakti, she's also representing Mother Earth, who became burdened. So this Kubja, who is also representing Bhumi, because Bhumi is also an expansion of Satyabhama, or Bhu-Shakti. So she was bent over. The reason Kubja was a hunchback, or bent over, she's bent over at the neck and waist and back, because of the heavy weight of demons, presence of demons like Kamsa, who were enjoying the scents. She was carrying sandalwood and other fragrances, which are products of the earth. Scent or smell or ganda is the principal quality, the mukhya gun of Bhumi. The primary quality of earth is smell, fragrance, scent, sorab. So she was engaged in making perfumes for Kamsa. So this is, you can see the relationship here. And Mishnah is saying that, so she's actually a partial Kubja, as I mentioned. In summary, this Kubja is a young hunchback girl, is actually a partial expansion of Krishna's wife, Satyabhama. And Krishna's internal energy, Bhu-Shakti, is also an expansion, known as Prithvi. So Prithvi, or Bhu-Shakti, is represented here as Bhumi. So as Bhumi, Mother Bhumi, and Satyuga, Mother Bhumi, and the whole earth planet was pushed down under the Garbhadak ocean into the mud and bent down and pushed down by the heavy weight of the demon. So Kubja in Dwapara Yuga was bent over. That's why she was hunchbacked. It represents Dharma being crushed. Dharma being crushed by the heavy weight of the demoniac King Kamsa of Mathura, who was killing the cows and Brahmins and children. Putin and other kacharis and witches were catching children and killing them. So this earth was also being bent down due to the great burden of countless wicked rulers like Shishupal and Dantavakra, Jarasandha, So Prithvi, the topmost devotee, showed her devotion by offering the essence of the earth element, fragrance, which is represented by the sandalwood paste, to Krishna, whom she met on the road. So his kubja is actually, you could say, an expansion of Satyabhama, or Satyabhama's expansion, Prithvi, or Mother Bhumi. And Mother Bhumi's greatest contribution or greatest product is scent or fragrance. And this chandan is called Gandharaj. Sandalwood paste or crushed sandalwood makes a very beautiful, soothing, enervating, health-giving, satisfying fragrance. And that's considered to be the Gandharaj, the king of all rajas, the king of all scents and fragrances. So this is what Kuja was carrying, so she offered to Krishna. Krishna accepted that sandalwood with great joy. And then Krishna bestowed Madhurya Rasa on her. This is Rasaprada, Prahasan Rasaprada. What Rasa? There's Madhurya Rasa, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya. So specifically, Rasaprada means giver or bestower. Krishna bestowed upon Kubja Madhurya Rasa. And he said, "O my devotee Earth, know that the burdens caused by Kamsa and other demons have now been taken on by me. Therefore now you should stand up straight." So then comforting Kubja in this way, Krishna then straightened out the blissful Kubja. So this is Vishwanath's commentary. Now if we actually examine, so there's a nice comment that Acharyas are saying, as Bhumi, represented by Kubja, offered the essence of her very self, the Gandharaj, this Chandan Gandharaj, the essence of her very self was being surrendered to and offered to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Kubja was carrying a tray of sandalwood, initially meant for Kansa, but now, by the mercy of Krishna, she was smart enough to offer to him. So just as she offered, Mother Bhumi, or Kubja, offered the best possible fragrance, she surrendered the essence. She not only surrendered the best possible fragrance, but she surrendered the essence of herself. She offered her very self, her body, everything she had, for Krishna's happiness. So we can learn from this that we should offer the essence of ourselves to Krishna for his pleasure. The essence of ourselves means our words, our intelligence, our body, our senses, our wealth, our Atma, our very Atma, and every atom of our being should be offered for the pleasure and happiness of Krishna. So as we see in Satyuga, when Varaha lifted Bhumi up from her fallen position, bent over position, he used his two tusks coming out from his mouth or his jaws or whatever. So in the same way, it says in text 7 that Achyuta, or Krishna, he straightened out or lifted up the hunchback Kubja in a similar way. As Varaha used two tusks and lifted up the earth from a bent over position or fallen position in the Garbhodak ocean, then Bhagavan Sri Krishna Achyuta, he pressed down on the toes of Kubja with both his feet. In other words, he stood on her feet. And then his one finger from each hand, probably we would think it's his index finger, that's a powerful finger, his right index finger, his left index finger, he put it one finger under each side of her chin, and then he, with an upward pointing finger, pressing down on the front of Kubja's feet with his two feet, Krishna held his chin with two upward pointing fingers, probably his index fingers, and he pulled her body up and he straightened her out. He lifted her up from her bent over hunchback position. And immediately she became transformed into a beautiful woman with straight, even limbs, well proportioned, and beautiful large hips and full breasts. This was all happened by the Mukunda Sparshanat, Mukunda Sparsha, by the touch of Mukunda. She became liberated from her fallen position, her bent over position. So you can see the parallel. Bhagavan Varaha used his two tusks to lift up Mother Bhumi, the earth planet Mother Bhumi, from the Garbhodak ocean. Then later, millions of years later, in Dwapara Yuga, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Chuta, Mukunda, he, with his two upward, his two fingers, two pointed fingers, just like two tusks or his two extended fingers, he put under her chin and lifted up Kuja from her fallen position as a hunchback, and she became beautiful. Now we'd like to say something about Varahadev. When Varahadev rescued the earth planet from the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean and held it upon his tusks, he contacted the earth planet. He's embracing the earth planet with his tusks, and actually embracing Bhumi. So by that combination of Bhagavan, the Supreme Enjoyer, with Bhumi, a child was produced. And the son of Bhumi, or the son of Varaha and Bhumi combined, was named Bhomasura, or Narakasura. So he lived an extremely long life. He was born in Satyuga, and he lived from Satyuga to Treta-yuga to Dwapara-yuga. And we see in Bhagavatam that ultimately, although he was the son of Bhagavan Varaha from Satyuga, in Dwapara-yuga, that same Bhagavan, but this time Bhagavan Mukunda, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, had, because of circumstance, had to kill Bhomasura. He had to kill his own son, in one sense, the son of Varaha, Bhagavan Varaha, and Bhumi. Because her son, although he was a devotee, or he was a good person, by bad association, he became an ally. He became an ally of Kamsa. He was a good friend of Jarasand and Shishupal and all these other demons. And Krishna had promised the earth god, Bhumi, that he wouldn't kill her son without her sanction. So since Mother Bhumi is actually an expansion of Satyabhama, Satyabhama could authorize Krishna to do the needful if the time came. So one time, this demon Bhomasura, he became known as Narak. Narakasura means the hellish demon. He was kidnapping and stealing. He stole the beautiful earrings of Aditi, the mother of Indra. And he also conquered a favorite recreation spot of the demigods known as Mount Meru. Particularly, he captured a part called Mani Parvat, the jewel mountain. So Indra was very upset with Bhomasura, so he came to Dwarka to complain about his atrocious activities. And he also kidnapped and put in a cave 16,000, although some Puranas say it was 16,100, and other places says 16,000. So he kidnapped 16,000 princesses. These 16,000 princesses were actually the Deva Kanyakas, or Kanyas, the virgins. They were Nitya Prayasis of Lord Krishna, and they were born as princesses of the demigods, but they were abducted by Narakasura. But due to a divine spell created by Yogamaya, the influence of Krishna's Yogamaya potency, their virginity was kept intact, and they were not defiled. Not even one of them was defiled by the horrible demon Narakasura. Yogamaya arranged in such a way that he couldn't even look at them lustfully, because the queens had already developed Purva Rag for Krishna. Purva Rag means prior love or infatuation or attachment before actually directly meeting the beloved, by seeing paintings or hearing about the exploits of the beloved, or maybe seeing directly from a distance and thinking about and hearing maybe the voice or the flute sound, they fell in love with Krishna. So then Krishna, after hearing all these complaints of Indra about how these princesses were made captive, they were collected from the palaces of various kings. So finally, Krishna took Satyabhama with him and went to the abode of Bhomasura. Then a huge fight broke out between Bhomasura's associates, and ultimately Bhomasura and Krishna were fighting face to face. So Bulbasaur had acted so irreligiously and demoniacally by offending Aditi, the mother of the demigods, by stealing her earrings and stealing Maniparvat, and by abducting and stealing all these princesses, virgin kanyas. He got heavy reaction. Even though he's a son of God, he still got punished. Ultimately, Krishna killed him. So it was a very fierce battle broke out. And there was some demon named Mora. And he was a friend or an associate of Bulbasaur, Narakasura. And he was killed. That's why Krishna is known as Murari. Krishna Murari, see Krishna Murari. You see, he killed that demon. This is described in chapter 59 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The killing of the demon Narak, or Bulbasaur. And finally, Krishna fought with Bulbasaur. Bulma attacked Krishna with a spear, which he used to defeat Indra's thunderbolt. And that's, although struck by that mighty weapon, Garuda was not shaken. It was just like an elephant being hit with a flower garland. So although that same spear, that same Trishun, was thrown at Indra by Bulbasaur and defeated him, defeated his powerful thunderbolt. But to Garuda, that powerful spear of Narakasura felt like as soft and gentle as a flower garland. Bulbasaur became frustrated in all his attempts in attacking Krishna. Then he took up his trident to kill Lord Krishna. But even before he could release it, the Lord cut off his head with his razor-sharp chakra as the demon sat atop his elephant. So Krishna, of course, had brought Satyabhama along with him to the battle, which is unusual, but for two reasons. Afterwards, he would go to Indraloka, return the earrings of Aditi to Aditi and meet with Indra, her son, and that would give an opportunity for Krishna to steal a Parijat tree, a celestial Parijat flower tree, to give as a gift to Satyabhama. And this could also appease her. She wanted it because she was a little jealous of her competitor rival queen Rukmini, who had received the Parijat flower, unfading Parijat flower for Narada Muni at the time of her marriage. So now Krishna was going to placate her by giving her an entire tree. At the same time, mollify her, for she may be upset for losing her son, because as we said, Narakasura is the son of Bhumi and Varaha, and that Bhumi is actually one aspect or expansion from Satyabhama. So Krishna brought Satyabhama along in a chariot so she could sanction, because previously he told Mother Bhumi that he would never kill her son, which means his son also, Varaha's son and Bhumi's son, that Krishna would never kill him without the sanction or permission of Mother Bhumi, of his mother. So now Mother Bhumi was standing on the chariot with Krishna. Mother Bhumi standing there in the form of Satyabhama. So she was sitting beside Krishna. She was sitting beside Krishna and Garuda, not a chariot, but Garuda. At that time, she said, Vishwanath is telling, kill him, right away. And then Krishna did just that. So this concludes the discussion of Varaha's appearance day, how that this Leela of Lord Varaha rescuing the earth planet, defeating Hiranyaksha, it was played out in a similar way, similar players in Krishna Leela with so much more sweetness. Krishna's rescuing the 16,000, of course Krishna rescued these 16,100 Kanyas, Raja Kanyas, these royal princesses, these virgins who were locked in the cave. He rescued them and accepted all of them in marriage and brought them to Dwarka, and they became his 16,100 queens. And then the eight queens he won in various, the eight primary or Mukhya queens, Mukhya Mahishis, Krishna won in various Swayamvaras, Rukmini, Satyabhama Mitravinda, Kalindi, Satya, Lakshmana, Jamavati, etc. So now, that same Krishna is killing his son Narakasura because he had fallen into bad company and developed all demoniac qualities, was stealing and trying to violate women and creating a great disturbance in the world, like his cohorts, Shishupal and Dantavakra and Jarasandha and Kans, who were all killed by Krishna.